notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pet Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pet Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Brings us to two other items I had tonight. We know that Dr. Meadows has announced he'll retire no later than the end of the year, so we need to begin the presidential search process, which means we need to appoint a presidential search committee. Given the time constraints we're facing, I think it would make sense for the members of the board to serve as the search committee. And since I'm the chair of the board, I will also chair the search committee as well. So this evening, I'll go ahead and formally appoint all of the members of the Board of Trustees as members of the search committee. And I will say stay tuned for more information about timing, procedures, requirements, that sort of thing in the coming days.
So this was back in June. You may recall that the Pensacola State Board of Trustees, that being Chairman Zach Smith, a name you should all know by now, who managed to not just become the chairman of the Board of Trustees, but so casually offered that, well, you know, the time constraint to replace Ed Meadows is pressing. And so I think that instead of having an independent organization of community members and hiring experts and education experts who would be able to sift through all of the various applicants to be the new president, let's just make it easy for everybody. Let's just put ourselves in charge of it. And, you know, and since I happen to be the chairman of this board of trustees, you can, it just seems like an easier way to do things if you just kind of let me spearhead this project.
Related to the presidential search committee, one of the first items of business we need to do is retain a search firm and other professional and administrative support staff to help with this endeavor. And so what I would ask, if someone would be willing to make a motion to delegate authority to me as the chair of the Board of Trustees to retain a search firm, to retain attorneys or other professional or administrative staff as needed for the search, I think that would be very helpful.
So moved.
Right, I have a motion from Trustee Atchison. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Trustee McDonald. Thank you. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
And do you remember what I said at the time, that when he put himself in charge of the process of finding a search firm, the Board of Trustees was going to be in charge of the vetting, that he had become the chairman of the board, Zach Smith, of course, who was absolutely essential in the search process at UWF after having been handpicked for both of these boards of trustees by Governor DeSantis to do whatever DeSantis wanted. And Zach Smith then wound up somehow picking Manny Diaz. You know, amazingly, out of all these candidates, we get one finalist and that's your one choice. And, you know, how did that work? Fascinating. And again, I love Manny. I think Manny's going to be a good president, and certainly I'm optimistic about it. But, you know, processes matter, and Zach Smith was the architect of the incredibly inappropriate process at UWF. And now, apparently, we've done it again at PSC. How many finalists do we have to choose from? Three? Four? No, one! Now, apparently, they did bring in some others to interview them, but we now have the one person who, you know, Rick Outzen had said this is who he thought it was going to be over a month ago, or about a month ago, something like that. But now it's Alex Kelly, Florida Secretary of Commerce, somebody very closely aligned with Governor DeSantis. And, you know, what I said about at the time about the Zach Smith stuff is, you know, just seems like nothing. I mean, there's nothing to see here. It's no big deal. We're just doing what's easy. We're doing what's convenient. We're just trying to make everybody's life easy, as I absolutely take total control of this process and nobody speaks up against it because, I don't know, do you want to be Andy Hobbs? You know, dear friend Andrew Hobbs, you know, chief deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, was on the PSC board for a little while. And then he had the audacity to have an independent opinion about PBS, and DeSantis immediately removed him. Anybody else have questions? Anybody else want to raise objections? Anybody else doesn't like the look of this thing where the, you know, the guy who did all the dirty work at UWF is now going to do all the dirty work at PSC and just happens to be in charge? Oh, you want to make me the chairman of the board? Oh, okay. I mean, fine, if that's what you want. I keep waiting for the time when Zach Smith does something I really like, because I want to be able to celebrate. Because I always tell you, you know, you got to be fair. And when people you dislike, when they do something you like, you got to praise them. When people you like do something you dislike, you got to criticize them. I keep waiting for something good. I keep waiting for, but it's just so awful. And all I can say at this point is that hopefully, you know, Alex Kelly is a good guy. Hopefully he's capable without a higher ed degree. You know, he's got a bachelor's degree. Out of 107 candidates, they picked 9 for interviews. They brought 4. And I love the press release here says highly qualified applicants. They were all highly qualified, you know. It doesn't really matter. It matters who you finally picked. And was it really an open and competitive process? I don't know. I have not watched that meeting. I just know that this is the same thing we've seen at UF and FAMU and FIU and New College, where the governor is putting in his people with extraordinarily dubious processes, I think is a charitable way to describe it. He is rewriting Florida's education system in his image. And, you know, to be honest, I think I have to be. I'm a conservative. I generally agree with what the governor is trying to do. I think we have made a good system better. It is certainly the most affordable higher education system in the country. He's not responsible for that entirely, but he's carried on the tradition. And between bright futures and low tuition and, you know, being the number one higher education system in the country, it's hard to really complain, especially given that, you know, liberals have dominated higher education for as long as I've been alive, a problem that conservatives like me have often complained about. Well, the governor's doing something about it. And, I mean, he is, and the board of governors is doing something about it. And there are some very good people on both of these boards. Again, what concerns me is if the person is the right person for the job, then the person who is the right person for the job should show that through an open, competitive, public, transparent, honest process. And at both UWF and at PSC, I don't feel like we've had that. Not even close. And these institutions matter to our community and to me and to the state. 437-1620 PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth this morning. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. 437-1620, if you see anything, I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
They're slugging it out in the middle of the ring. A right to the jaw.
My block is knocked off.
The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all that counts is here and now. My universe will never be the same. I'm glad you came.
Good morning, 620 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Got some texts in here about the whole PSC picking the one finalist. Here you go. Everything's great. Don't ask questions. Now, again, they did have more people in for interviews. The board actually did serve a role as the vetting committee for the presidential search. It just seems so similar to UWF that, you know, one can't but ask questions about how everybody knew in advance we were going to get the result that doesn't even look like the person with the best credentials, but does look like the most DeSantis-y person. And who's going to raise objections when you get removed from boards in Florida when you ask questions, right? Let's see. Shawnee says, deep breath, Andrew, in through the nose, out through the mouth. Breathe. Fair enough. Let's see. Somebody else says, all I can see is Mel Brooks saying it's good to be the king. It's good to be the king. Somebody else texts in, it sounds familiar to how the library director was chosen in Escambia County. Oh, that's an interesting comparison. You know, the board picks their person, and then Wes Moreno picked his person, and, you know, fair question, you know, open processes. The right person will show themselves in a fair competitive process. That's a, do I believe in it some places and not others? No, I mean, you know, you got to believe in it all the time, right? 621, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The number of people unaccounted for after the catastrophic flooding and in the Grand Canyon has dropped now from 15 to only one. Officials say two people did die after the monsoonal rains triggered flash flooding over the weekend. The one victim has been identified as 46-year-old chiropractor from Texas. The second body was recovered on Monday. That person has not been identified. More than 80 people had to be evacuated from the canyon.
I'm still trying to figure out how they told us 15 people had been confirmed dead, and now, and I'm glad 13 are still alive, but how were they telling us it was 15 and now it's just two? Again, that's thank God. Question. This is great news, but maybe don't go out and say 15 people have died and then have to come back later and say it was only two. Maybe you say people are missing, you know, just as a note. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Also, by the way, good use of the word monsoonal.
Well, I don't get to use it every day.
It's
so,
it's not an East Coast, you know, Gulf State kind of word. Go on.
Big news out of Las Vegas. Dwayne Keffi D. Davis has been convicted of first-degree murder in the 1996 killing of Tupac Shakur. Prosecutors called Davis the shot caller behind the shooting. He was not accused of pulling the trigger, though. He faces a possible life sentence and, of course, plans to appeal. And
so now, what, 30 years later, we got the guy who was in the caddy, but not actually the shooter.
I don't even know if he was in the caddy.
I was reading yesterday. He was in the car.
Was he in the car? Okay.
That's what they're saying. I mean, I guess he disputed that, but, you know, that's what they're saying. So this story to me came at a time when I was not paying much attention to regular music. I had become a Christian. I was listening to Third Day and Jars of Clay, and there's a whole gap for me.
Good stuff.
In the late 90s, you know, and early aughts where I was like, I don't know any of these, you know, barely any of this music. Right. What everybody else, like when that, you know, when the Super Bowl the couple years ago had, who all was in it? Snoop and, you know, all the rap stars. And it was all, I was like, I mean, I know who these people are. I've heard some of these songs, whereas my other friends are like, this is the best ever. I'm like, I didn't live through that one. So, yeah, the Tupac was like distant news to me at the time. It wasn't my, you know, my issue or whatever. So go ahead. What else? You had a third one?
I do. Well, police in Vienna are searching for two men who stole a diamond necklace worth millions of dollars from a museum last week. The thieves reportedly bought tickets, entered during the day, and then smashed a display case with a hammer before fleeing with the necklace. The necklace was once owned by Egypt's queen consort Nazli and contains 673 diamonds and sold for $4.3 million in 2015. Experts are saying the thieves will probably break it apart and sell the jewels individually.
Yeah,
as I imagine people may be looking for that necklace.
Yeah. All right. Vienna's a beautiful place. Have you ever been to Austria?
I have not.
Oh, no, it's beautiful, fantastic, wonderful. You know, the hills are alive. Like, it's that place. It really is. So,
well, I'll put it on my list.
Go there for the hills and the wine and the cathedrals. And, you know, if you happen to see diamonds along the way, then I guess that's a bonus.
Check out the pawn shops just in case.
There you go. David, thanks so much for the update. 624 here on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are just very effective at that. And, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen to you when you sell a house? I mean, basically, the worst thing is it doesn't happen, right? I mean, you know, you put it up, you go through the trouble, you're psychologically distressed because you're anxious over selling it and nervous and not knowing what's going to happen. Maybe you get a closing, it doesn't work out, and a closing, you know, a contract doesn't work out, and then you just don't sell the house. Like, and that happens. Okay, well, Christina Leavenworth and her team, they sold, you know, 206 homes last year, and in the last calendar year, that was last calendar year, and in the last 12 months, 270. So they're actually selling more rapidly homes. It had been 4 a week, now it's at 5 a week. And the reason I tell you that is because they get it done. You know, they take over listings from other agents who could not move the house. You know, sometimes people have had one, two, three, as many as, I think one time there was one person that had seven former agents that she took over and sold the house. And I can't imagine a thing any more frustrating than having a house that you don't sell. Okay, well, just talk to Christina. You know, and you don't have to, like, choose her because I said so. Just talk to her because I said so. Include her on your list of people that you interview for this job, because it's a pretty important job, selling or buying a home. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. It's a quiet start to your morning. Highway 90 is clear from Milton into Pace. Lillian, Jackson, Navy, all accident-free. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Oh, we were talking last hour about what I think is the story yesterday in the state of Florida, which is that basically FDOT has ordered the removal of all license plate readers from state rights-of-way, which right-of-way just means it's a term that everybody uses that not everybody defines. If you have the ability to operate on the surface of a piece of land, you have the right-of-way. And so, you know, this is roads, this is sidewalks, this is the shoulder along the road where, you know, utility poles and things are installed. The state owns the access, or you might say the easement, over those areas. And so if you have a right-of-way on a state road where you've got a license plate reader, it's got to go within 30 days. No real discussion, no vetting, no consultation with anybody that I know of. And so that affects all these cameras that are in the big major roads, because that's all the major roads, right? That's 399, that's 98, that's 90, that's Burgess Airport, Pine Forest, 97. That's like, name a major road in this area, 87, and this is it. All those license plate readers have to go within 30 days. The only question in my mind, number one, is, you know, how quickly are we going to remove them? And are there, you know, some agencies have already started to say, Okaloosa and Duval sheriffs have both said they're taking everything out, even on the county roads. What about in the city? And what about red light cameras? Because red light cameras, they are LPRs, they're not LPRs. Like, they capture the license plate information in the photo. They're not AI-based reading of it, so I don't know if red light cameras qualify as LPRs under this directive, but I do know that toll collecting devices would fall under this, and those are installed by the state, so maybe when FDOT says those have to go, they don't apply because they are going to keep those in function. You know, they're going to keep those. I'm sure this doesn't mean we're going to get rid of the tolls, you know, across the state of Florida. But there's a lot of kind of questions about this. And, you know, we'll be talking with Chip Simmons later today about this. We'll certainly be talking with DC Reeves tomorrow about the red light cameras. But that would be all the red light. If these red light cameras qualify as LPRs, then this would mean all of the red light cameras in Pensacola have to go away. And even the ones in Gulf Breeze have to go away because that's on Highway 98, right? So, you know, they could clarify the directive in the next 30 days. I would not expect that this was intended to remove all the red light cameras, but I don't know. It's a kind of a, you know, all of a sudden, here you go. Blah. So we'll see what happens. It's kind of a big deal. Meanwhile, the president, Trump, has now come out about data centers. He likes them. We'll actually talk about that coming up in just a minute. Interesting. Jesse Lacoste yesterday was convicted again. Second trial. You know, well, he was convicted on Friday. But the sentencing yesterday, 30 days. 30 days. The judge in the case says, look, you know, these people, some of them were actually victimized twice by you. First by Sally and then by you.
It stood out to me also that there were 22 projects and only four of those were completed. What stood out to me most was the people that were affected.
Yeah, I probably think you can't even hear that in your car. Sorry. I wasn't in the courtroom. PNJ had a video on their website that I thought maybe we could air that would be, but it's just so, the static was so loud. It was at such a distance from the judge. Judge John Simon basically said, look, these people got victimized in Sally and you came in to fix that and then you didn't do those repairs and they got victimized by you. You know, you took their money and you didn't do the work almost ever. So it gives him 30 years on top of the existing 10. Jesse claims, you know, I was benefiting people. I didn't suffer. The money went back into projects. Come on. You know, what I always hope for somebody is that they would just apologize. Now, an apology doesn't solve the theft, right? It doesn't solve the fraud and the abuse and the, you know, right? It doesn't fix that. But if not for everybody else's sake, kind of for your own, like, sake, for your own soul, you know, just fess up. Say the truth.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Financial violence. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says we're prepared to commit it in the next phase against Iran as President Trump vows to hit them hard for a failed missile attack on U.S. troops in Jordan, with reports that Iran military leaders are starting to flee the country.
The administration pointing to sanctions as a broader strategy to squeeze Iran economically. Iran's currency plunged to a record low in August, while annual inflation reached 66% in July.
Fox's Alex Hogan. While in D.C., Army Secretary Dan Driscoll submitted his resignation, but the White House hasn't accepted it yet. 30 years later, a Las Vegas jury takes less than 3 hours to find Dwayne Davis guilty of orchestrating the drive-by murder of rapper Tupac Shakur. He's facing a sentence of life in prison. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 75 degrees. And mostly sunny this morning. We'll get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3. That'll be up in just a couple of minutes. Well, Pensacola State College's Board of Trustees has named Florida Commerce Secretary Alex Kelly as the sole finalist to become the college's next president. Kelly would replace Ed Meadows, who is retiring here at the end of the year after leading PSC now since 2008. Kelly served in several roles under Governor DeSantis, including Deputy Chief of Staff and Chief of Staff at the Department of Education. He is set to visit the PSC campus in late September. He'll meet with students, faculty, and community members. Kelly joins a growing list of DeSantis administration officials who've now taken leadership roles at Florida colleges and universities. A 39-year-old Mobile man is facing a first-degree rape charge following an incident in Foley last week. Investigators say Tyrone Sykes met the adult victim in a public place before the reported assault. Detectives worked with multiple agencies to track him down. He was arrested without incident at a residence in Mobile. The Foley Police Department says the investigation remains ongoing and is asking anybody with information to come forward. Florida gas prices are easing after climbing towards $4 a gallon earlier last week. The AAA says the state average was at $3.88 on Monday. That is 3 cents higher than a week ago, 7 cents below the price on Thursday. Escambia had some of the lowest averages in the state, $3.68 a gallon. Santa Rosa County averaging $3.73. AAA says prices have remained relatively stable for the past month and a half, with fuel costs approaching Labor Day generally in line with what drivers have paid for the majority of the summer. Escambia County Fire Rescue is holding its physical abilities test for Florida certified firefighters on Monday, September 14th. That'll be at 8 in the morning at Pensacola Fire Department Station 4. Applicants will have to apply for the position beforehand at myescambia.com/careers. The test includes a timed hose pull, Kaiser sled, and tower evolution. If you pass, you'll move on to interviews the following day on September 15th. A routine agricultural inspection in Escambia County led to the arrest of a New York truck driver. Police say that they found about 25 grams of suspected fentanyl. The Florida Office of Agricultural Law Enforcement says a commercial tractor trailer carrying produce was stopped as it entered the state on I-10. A canine named Mojo alerted officers to possible narcotics inside of the cab. A search turned up individually wrapped powder and unmarked pressed pills. Field tests indicated about 25 grams of suspected fentanyl with an estimated street value of around $5,000. 30-year-old Joginder Singh of Belarose, New York, was arrested and booked into the Escambia jail on drug trafficking charges. It is 6:35. Let's check in with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Thanks, David. No problems or delays to report. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Gulf Breeze, that's looking good as well. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a small chance of rain today, 30% chance of a few pop-up showers. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with a high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into Wednesday, 40% chance of rain, high near 92 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into Thursday, 60% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Sunny skies right now, 74 degrees. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. NVIDIA has invested $3.5 billion in convertible bonds issued by MediaTek. CNBC reports that the two companies will work on integrating NVIDIA technology with MediaTek's custom AI chip business, as well as other areas such as PCs and cars. MediaTek, which is the main rival to Qualcomm, has looked to diversify its business into data centers. Treasury yields increased this morning as renewed tensions in the Middle East drove global government borrowing costs higher. The 10-year Treasury note yield rose more than 2 basis points to 4.784%, the highest since January of 2025. Venezuela interim authorities have granted U.S.-backed North American Blue Energy Partners 100-year concessions for 17 oil fields with proven reserves of about 65 billion barrels. That's according to the White House. The U.S. has about 46 billion barrels in proven oil reserves. Futures are lower this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Two quick questions. Would you describe your current wireless service as 5-star? Are you paying more than $34.99 a month for unlimited data? I only ask because in a recent industry survey of 120,000 wireless customers, Pure Talk was the only wireless company out there to receive 5 stars in every category: coverage, support, value, and data. And now for just a few more weeks, Pure Talk's offering unlimited data for just $15 a month for your first 3 months. After that, you'll get unlimited data for as low as $34.99 a month with no contract and no commitment. Just dial #250, say micro, and Pure Talk's 5-star U.S. customer service team will switch you in minutes. And at just $15 a month for your first 3 months, there really is no better time to switch to Pure Talk than right now. Dial #250, say micro, and switch to a 5-star American wireless company.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Hi, folks. Fred Jury, owner of West Florida Vacuums, asking you to tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30, when I will be on the show discussing how West Florida Vacuums can assist you with vacuum repairs and purchases. If you can't catch the show, please call us at 448-994-0195 or visit westfloridavacuums.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I designed your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
And it also just raises an issue because these are AI-powered cameras. You just saw, there was an article, if you look, about, you know, these AI applications kind of have a mind of their own, and they were like fighting each other, creating civilizations, all this stuff in the background. It's like the kind of the programmers didn't really know what was going on and didn't have control over it. And to me, to go in a situation where you have computers that are not under human control and could potentially do things to harm people, that's a huge, huge threat and risk. And that's not something we can allow happen. Human beings always need to be in control of this technology.
Governor DeSantis joining me on the anti-Skynet brigade yesterday, and he was talking about the Flock cameras, which, of course, the statewide sudden announcement that all law enforcement Flock camera right-of-way access permissions have been revoked, and you got 30 days to take them up. Oh, by the way, really good note on social media. Somebody had sent me a message and said that, you know, this doesn't apply to, like, the toll-by-plate cameras because those permissions are granted to local law enforcement. That, like, the revoked permissions are local law enforcement, and those are FDOT owned or state owned. They're not local law enforcement. Toll by plate is not a law enforcement function. But that would seem to imply that it is related to the red light cameras. And still trying to find out. But, you know, the governor yesterday saying, look, in addition to the Flock cameras, I don't like that they're run by AI and all the concerns that we have about AI and what it's doing to us.
And I believe the technology can be beneficial in a lot of different things, and it can be channeled in that way. But to say that somehow we're going to be displaced and these chatbots or some artificial intelligence application is going to be making decisions in lieu of human guidance and human decision making, that doesn't work. And that's going to end up being a big problem.
Yep. Yeah, it's the same thing that we're all concerned about, or at least I think we should be concerned about. So we'll see. But that wasn't the only news yesterday related to AI or can I say the phrase out loud? Data centers. I don't know if you're supposed to not say that in a crowded room. But did you see what President Trump put up about data centers? Yeah, he now this is, I think this has been brewing for a little while, and it's actually weird because I get to say that I very much agree with President Trump about something. A lot of times I don't get to say I agree with him. He's done a couple of things in the last couple of days that I think are really praiseworthy notes. So let's talk about it. One is he said that data centers are good. He put a post up on Trump Social. That's what I call it. The only reason that communities throughout the USA should not want data centers is if they want to end up being backwards and poor. It's a unique way of saying it, but, you know, if you want to be an advanced community, do a data center, or at least allow them. If they want to be successful and rich with far lower taxes and jobs all over the place, let data reign. I don't love that phraseology, but okay. The good news is that there are plenty of other places that want them. If we kill the golden goose, all caps, caps for the G's, you will only have yourselves to blame. China could not be happier with this anti-data center movement. Actually, they can't believe it is happening. President DJT. Okay, so what have we said about data centers? What have I said about data centers? The people who are arguing against them, generally the socialists, although some others also, have been making a big deal about this, and their arguments have been poor. Their arguments have not taken account of how things are done now. They're very alarmist, and it's always, you know, the question of, well, did you use AI to generate the talking points that you're telling us about? And, you know, lots of hypocrisy around, or at least appearance of hypocrisy. And then we learn that, you know, for example, Michelle Salzman started all this locally as a conversation because she was, you know, in favor of data centers and technology and cyber, as Cory Station is the, you know, massive local training facility for cyber. And we don't talk about it a lot, but, you know, very important. We're also talking about becoming a tech corridor and the value that that might have and, you know, just kind of another perspective. Then, you know, there was this wave of opposition. And the opposition was mostly based on poor information and misuse of even the poor information that they had. And then you had sort of this growing perception slash allegation slash evidence that, gosh, it seems like maybe the Chinese are using the socialists to advance their message because the Chinese do not want us to be competitive with data centers and AI. And so, you know, who really benefits if we do manage to put a limit on these things? Well, not us, but them. So now you have President Trump coming out and saying, yeah, the Chinese want us not to do this. And if we do resist this push for modern technology, we're going to have consequences. You know, people say, well, it doesn't create jobs. Well, it creates a few jobs. It mostly creates revenue. If you have a data center and you're, you know, in Escambia County somewhere, not that there's any planned, but, you know, or in Santa Rosa, they pay a lot of property taxes and they don't take a lot of services. You know, when was the last time you had to build a school for the data center? Never, because there's no kids in there. When was the last time you had to have the sheriffs come out and patrol? And almost never, because they probably have private security. Anyway, the point is it's a source of revenue, a large source of revenue, and especially at a time we're looking at property taxes dramatically shifting on homesteads. That's not a homestead. So if you can manage to get data centers built in your community, you have better access to technology. You are building for the future. You're potentially engaging in national defense infrastructure, and you're generating revenue in a way that's not affected by Amendment 4. I mean, it kind of seems like all upside, frankly. Well, what about the water? What about the noise? What about the, okay, I mean, let's talk about that. But if you're going to generate it yourself and you're actually going to have an internally cooled system. Anyway, there's a long conversation to be had about this. So far, the conversation has been really, really lopsided, and only the loudest socialists have been driving it, and I think that's cause for concern as well. So nice to see President Trump come out in favor of data centers as an alternative perspective. More on his right doings in the last day or two in just a minute. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash Palafox Street at East Burgess Road. If you see anything else, 437-1620. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you've got a kid who is struggling with math, or a kid who's okay at math, or a kid who does well at math, pay attention. That's all the kids, by the way. Mathnasium is there for you. Now, I know you might think of Mathnasium primarily as they solve the problem when your kid's not doing well. You know, they did well last year, they're not doing well this year. The teacher doesn't explain it in a way they understand. You can't help them, whatever. Okay. But they're also a place to go if a kid's doing well, because whatever the skill level of your child, they can help. They can help students who are struggling understand math concepts that they do not. They can help kids who are doing pretty well do better. And honestly, some people take their kids there because they do well and they want them to do great because they have the potential. You know, kind of like you get a private coach for a kid who's good at tennis. Well, get a private coach for a kid who's good at math. Mathnasium does that. Don and Adana are the owners of Mathnasium. They are dear friends of ours. Like, they're some of our best friends. I love them. I love what they do. They are so passionate about math education. I mean, really passionate about it. I had a son. My son taught there for a year. So all you do is you go for a free assessment. Very simple. You stop by, have your kid do a free assessment, and then you figure out what to do after that. Mathnasium located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. All right, back to President Trump, some of the things he's done well. I like this Patrick Duffy move on transportation, shutting down the truck driving schools that are not requiring English, not having certified instructors, not having properly functioning equipment. I think for a long time we've kind of been blasé about enforcing these rules, and that has led to problems. And, you know, let's fix it. You know, somebody needs to fix it. That's a good move. Then you also have the deal with the pharmaceutical companies. You know, 9 more pharmaceutical firms are moved into favored nation status kind of treatment. The idea behind this is that companies who create pharmaceuticals go around the world and sell the drugs cheaper than you can buy them here in America, where they're protected by our patent laws. And President Trump and many have said, well, this is outrageous. It is our system of constitutional protections that allows them to do research and development and then profit. They shouldn't be selling these drugs cheaper in Canada or in Europe than they're selling them here. Now, if they want to create a drug that deals with malaria and they want to sell it in Africa at a steep discount more than they do here, I mean, that's not so offensive because it's doing such a good thing. But the idea here is that you would not be selling it in the United States at any higher rate than you'd be selling it at any of the developed nations, okay? Most favored nation. That's kind of the idea. Well, they previously had, I think it was 17 companies before had signed up for this, and now there's 9 more have been added to it. So 26 total companies, which he says represent 90% of the domestic pharmaceutical market. The other 10% he says are coming. You know, they have no choice. We'll see. If this turns out, even if it doesn't produce the full effect of what it is intended to do, this is great news. You know, how many of us know about, you know, out of control drug prices for American consumers, whether through Medicare or under Medicaid or under private, you know, availability, whatever the case may be, reforming this system? Not that drug companies can't make money. Of course they can make money. We want them to make money. They're doing a good thing. We pay them for it. That's how capitalism works. We just want to make sure that they're not raking Americans over the coals disproportionately with how they're treating people in foreign markets. That's the issue, because the luxury of being able to develop these drugs with these legal protections in this country is why they exist. That's a benefit to all. Let's just make sure that, you know, the Germans aren't benefiting more from what America made possible than the Americans are, which, I mean, makes perfect sense to me. Then there's the Venezuela. I mean, lots of things have happened in the last couple of days that are really good notes. The Venezuela oil deal is huge. We talked about this a little bit, but if this pans out, they're creating a board of oversight in Venezuela. We don't have like an Aramco like Saudis have or Pemex like Mexico has. We don't have a U.S. gas company. So they kind of have to create somebody who's going to oversee this. And the one that's being overseen is the NABEP, the North American Blue Energy Partners. It's Venezuelan authorities, but they're kind of overseen by the Department of War's Office of Strategic Capital. I mean, it's a U.S.-Venezuelan partnership that gives us a 35% equity stake in, you know, the Department of War has an equity stake in the NABEP. And the short version in the end, we got a lot of details on this from an EO yesterday, or a press release that the White House put out, that basically says we've got 20% of the take right now, and we have an option on the next 80, like right of first refusal, for 65 billion barrels of crude in Venezuela. Which, to put in perspective, the entire reserves in Venezuela are like 300 billion. And then Saudis are 267 billion. Iran is 200 billion. These are the biggest. 170 billion in Canada. Iraq is 145. You get all the way down to Russia's at 80. We are at 38 to 46, let's say 40. So if all this pans out, the Trump administration just managed to secure access to oil reserves in Venezuela at basically cost is the deal. You know, the cost it takes to get it out is the price we'll pay. So they get compensated to some degree, plus a fair profit, but not an exorbitant profit. That's part of the deal. For 1.5 times all of the U.S. reserves combined. He'll fill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve if this pans out. We'll have access to non-expensive crude The question, of course, is then going to be processing. There's also a very good note. I was reading about this, that will this be enough to entice private oil development companies to be involved? Because people get into oil to what? Make money. A lot of money. Well, if there's money to be made in the private market, aside from this government sort of rent control deal, you know, because it's only they're only allowed to make so much, will people be willing to get involved in this process? You know, the people who go and drill, the people who run the well, the people who explore, you know, like the all of the people who want to do this, will they be persuaded to do it? And I don't know the answer to that. I think it's an interesting question. I know so little about the oil industry that I don't feel like I can talk meaningfully about it. But again, it just, you know, like broad strokes, it looks great. It looks like an amazing thing. Also, just keep in mind, who were the top five oil reserve companies or oil reserve countries in the world? Venezuela. We're kind of involved with them. There was a military thing you may have heard. Saudi Arabia. Trump has been working with them for years, first administration and now, you know, whether it's the Abraham Accords or anything else, and really emphatically involved in Saudi Arabia, you know, selling them arms, of course, mutual defense, like, or not mutual, but, you know, lots of action working closely with Saudi Arabia. That right there is, if I'm doing my quick math, that's about a third of all the proven reserves in the world between Venezuela and Saudi Arabia. Iran, I mean, we're kind of at a war with them right now. Canada, we're in a trade dispute with them right now. Iraq, we, you know, soft influence control with, you know, if you look at Trump foreign policy purely through the lens of interactions with major oil deposits. Oh, okay. Why would that matter? Well, does China need oil? I mean, right? I mean, China needs energy. And we are, according to the White House release, the Venezuelan access is stuff that used to be available to China is not anymore. So all of these very, I'm not saying it's all about oil. I don't know if it's all about oil, but you can start to see some of the connections. And is all of this stuff just the foreign policy about preventing nuclear weapons in Iran, or is it something else? And is this just about a corrupt dictator in Venezuela, or is this about something else? And, you know, what level of strategy is Trump and the White House playing? Well, I'm just, you know, I don't know, but it's interesting. I'll just say it that way. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. I know you hear me give a lot of, you know, criticism to Trump for various things. I wanted you to hear me give at least praise or, you know, to think about some of the things that are happening in the last couple of days that are very interesting in a positive way. At least they seem that way to me. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that hit-and-run crash at Palafox Street at Burgess. The roadway is open there. Also, U.S. 98 eastbound near the Windhaven Beach area. Traffic's very light at this moment. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
When your child isn't feeling well,
Mommy,
they need a good night's sleep. That's when to reach for Vicks VapoRub. Applying a gentle layer of VapoRub on your child's chest releases soothing vapors that start working right away and provides relief that lasts up to 8 hours. It's one small act that helps everyone get a good night's sleep. Try Vicks VapoRub and trust a brand trusted by parents for over 130 years. Use as directed.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to The Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing ABC at The Fish House, featuring Good Boy Vodka ready-to-drink cocktails, Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Jazz at Jackson's with Ellen Vinson, Fall Harvest Dinner at Angelina's, and celebrate Thanksgiving with Great Southern, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
G.I. Joe has hands that grip, fingers you hold open and let close, hands that hold on with a kung fu grip.
morning, 6:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, jurors are entering their fourth day of deliberations in the trial of Lindsay Clancy, who's accused of killing her three young children in Massachusetts in 2023. Clancy admits to strangling the children, but says postpartum psychosis made her unable to understand her actions. Of course, prosecutors argue she was criminally responsible. The jury could either convict her of murder or manslaughter or acquit her. President Trump has announced new drug pricing agreements with 9 pharmaceutical companies, including Astellas, Teva, and UCB. The companies have agreed to offer some medicines to state Medicaid programs at prices comparable to those paid in other developed countries. The president said the deals will lower health care costs, although the actual savings are unclear as of yet. The agreements build on similar deals reached with 17 major drug makers. And Dolly Parton's estate has announced Dolly Fest, a 2-day celebration planned apparently both in Nashville and London across 2 weekends next year. The festival was originally planned for January of 2026 with Dolly Parton set to perform and host. Organizers say the event now will celebrate her legacy.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 6:59 here on News Radio 92.3. Have you heard of the newest trend in the manosphere dating advice? Pheromone maxing. This is where young men want to be as manly and robust for the lady that they're trying to entice. And so before that first date, you don't shower and you don't wash. You wear old clothes. And so you maximum your pheromones.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.